the people that I talked to that actually went to these cuddle sessions, how healing it was.
Good adventures, everybody. I'm Melissa Bonzak, and welcome to episode 121 of Books Cubed. Today, I am chatting with award-winning filmmaker Jason O'Brien. O'Brien, I can speak. And we're talking about cuddling, which is a whole industry. Now, there's a book we will get to, but we need to start at the beginning, which was a film. So welcome, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I remember first hearing about this film because you had a Kickstarter and we had a lot of the same films, same friends in the film industry in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. So I'm happy to say I was a sponsor for that Kickstart. But tell everybody what got you interested in this whole subject of cuddling.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that was actually a facilitator of cuddle parties. And she was the one that first kind of mentioned it to me because she thought it might be something that I might be interested in. And at the time, I was a little hesitant. I was like, cuddle party, never heard of this. I'm not sure what this would be and if this would be something that I might like. And as I learned more about it and kind of discovered it and actually went to one, and I saw, wow, this was completely different than what I kind of thought. And then I would start asking people about it and see people's different assumptions around it. And I thought, this should be a documentary, because this is a movement that I started to learn that was really looking for better understanding about what they do and what they offer. And so I thought, I quick did some research. I saw, is there anybody that's made a documentary about this? And no one had. And that's rare, you know, to find a subject matter that no one's made a film about. And so it felt like this calling that, you know, I've always made films about human connection and relationships and things like that. And this kind of fell right in my lap. And it just seemed like a perfect fit to kind of make a documentary.
So what is cuddling? I mean, it sounds like people just get together and hug each other, but I think it's a lot more than that, right?
Yeah, it's actually more of like a workshop, like especially the cuddle, because there's two different kinds of things. There's the cuddle parties and then there's one-on-one cuddling sessions. The cuddle parties are like a workshop. They're really about learning boundaries and communication skills, about asking for what you want, being able to say no and not have to explain it. But it's basically a safe setting for people to get like their touch needs met. And a lot of people that are not in relationships or, you know, they can't get that touch in their lives, it's a perfect place for them to safely cuddle with someone where you have to ask permission. And the same in the individual cuddle sessions. It's sort of like envisioning how people go for a massage, you know, like you pay for a session to just cuddle with someone. And it's remarkable how healing that has been for so many people. So yeah, it was just something that just was so misunderstood. When you hear like someone going for a cuddle, they just assume that there's going to be something more. It was hard for people to understand that people can just get together and cuddle with nothing else happening. So that's what I wanted to present the most.
And so you have this idea. So how do you turn it into a film then? A documentary? How do you turn it into that?
Yeah, first I just started, I knew like Tracy, who was the cuddle party facilitator that told me about this. She was immediately interested and I knew that, you know, she could probably get a filmed cuddle party together. And then I started just researching. I started like looking around to see all these different places. And that's when I found about these one-on-one cuddling businesses. And because initially I thought, man, this might be just a short documentary about cuddle parties. But then when I saw how many there were around the country, I was like, I'm just going to start contacting people. And so many people were interested. And then I just started making plans to travel to these places and just film what they were doing. You know, I didn't want to provide like any kind of negative voices about this because I thought people are going to come to this with their own opinions anyway. You know, so some people are going to come and say, oh, this is creepy, or I don't really understand this, you know, and just let the people doing it tell their stories. And it was remarkable how it only took me about 4 months just to travel around. I went to Colorado, I went to California, New York, and then of course our own cuddle party in Birmingham. And it all just came together like really well. People were just so excited to kind of get their voices out there about this movement. And that's kind of where it started and came together.
So you went around the country and you found all these people. How eager were they to be on camera? Because I mean, it sounds like a very intimate event.
Mm-hmm. That was tough. The facilitators were very excited to be on camera, but finding people to cuddle was a very hard thing. It took us a while to find, especially in the one-on-one sessions, to find people that were willing to cuddle. And finally, the biggest breakthrough was in Boulder, Colorado. They were very open to, we were able to find a couple different clients there that were very open, and they provided some amazing sessions. And that was really all we needed. I didn't really need a lot of cuddle sessions, just because once you kind of see the general idea, you know, then it's kind of just repeating yourself. So I was just glad that I got some really good sessions and people that were willing, but it did take a while.
And once you had this in the can, was it easy to sell this film?
I don't think it's ever easy to sell any film, but this particular one kind of had people were very interested in it. When I first started to go pitch it, I had three executives call me back and were very intrigued by it, because everybody had tons of questions. Every time this subject was presented, they were like, I'm kind of fascinated by this, you know, and that's what got me into doing the film, because I thought that's what's going to get people to watch this. It may not be something that they want to do, but they may want to really find out about it. So it took a little while, but because making those deals and all those kinds of things can take a while, but it did eventually get distributed. And it's still finding its way into other services to this day. So it's a 10-year-old film now. So it's, it's doing well.
Now I've got it. So, you know, I have it in my DVD collection, mm-hmm. But where can people find it if they're curious about what all is involved and want to see the film?
Well, it's on Amazon Prime, Tubi. Trying to think some of the others. I know it was on Google Play. If you just do a search on Cuddle 2013, 2014, you'll find it on a number of places, but those are the main ones that you can find it now.
Okay, so you've got the film, it's done, it's in the can, mm-hmm. yet a book comes out. What mm-hmm. led to the book?
Well, it actually, there was a second Cuddle film that eventually happened, but I'll give you a little background. When I was going in the process of making the first Cuddle film, when I was in Boulder, actually, I was talking about sort of how making this movie was already kind of changing me. I was starting to think differently about human connection and relationships. And the facilitator there, he said, you know, have you planned on including your story as part of this film? And I was like, not really. I didn't think that, you know, I thought me kind of being a part of it was going to kind of take away from what I was trying to show. But that idea never left me. And I started writing down at that time, just sort of my kind of journaling, what I was going through. And because at that time I had just lost my corporate job and there was a lot of things going on in my life. But I just kind of left it, you know, at that point. Because then once the film was done and all of that, and I was working on other films, but then my personal life was in upheaval then, because I was going through a divorce. There was a lot that was going on. And that the idea to make a sequel to Cuddle kind of came to me, because I remembered so much when I was making the first film. The people that I talked to that actually went to these Cuddle sessions, how healing it was. And I was kind of lost. I didn't know. I was kind of at my lowest point, and I didn't know which way to heal. And I thought, what if I didn't even know if it would make a good film, but I thought, I'm going to take my camera. And I contacted a number of, because there had been a lot of advances, a lot of new people that had come out doing Cuddle businesses and all of that since the first film. And I thought, if I contact some of these, maybe they'd be willing to tell their stories with me as the client, basically. So that it was sort of a way for me to heal. And I filmed the entire time. And then by the end of it, it healed me. I did so much work during that time. And then that was the point that I thought, my final step in this is to write about this, going all the way back to the first film and all the years in between, and then the second film, to kind of show, because one of the things that struck me, what people told me, a lot of these facilitators consider themselves wounded healers, you know, people that have been through great trauma in their lives, and now they're helping others. And I thought, maybe this book would be a way to, because I know what it was like to be in the really darkest of places. And I don't know, if I didn't have this particular avenue, I don't know what would have happened. So that's when I decided to write the book. I wanted to tell this story. I wanted to I wanted people to see, you know, both my journey, but I also really wanted them to see more about all of these cuddle facilitators and get a deeper insight into it than I was able to provide in both films. So that's what led to the book.
When you went to a lot of film festivals with the film, mm-hmm. What kind of reaction did you have from audiences?
It was great. I mean, that film was so well received. I didn't really hear any negativity. Most of the people came up and said, wow, this really changed my mind about, you know, some people said, I didn't even know something like this existed. And then they were like, and it's so much different than what I thought. And that's really what I wanted to do. Like, I really wanted to show people that, because even to this day, there's still a lot of criticism about these cuddle businesses and things like that. They always think they're a front for something else. And so, but it was really well received. I was really happy to hear that people, it changed their minds. I mean, as a filmmaker, and especially the documentary filmmaker, that's something that you strive to do. You know, you want people to get a different perspective than they had before. And so, yeah, it was really well received.
I had a friend, a British friend, who said to me, you Americans are so afraid of sex. You won't even touch each other. I said, yeah, it's very much so. So, yeah, I can see where people would be kind of, you know, and thinking it's going to lead to something.
Yes.
Odd, but it isn't. And I got to say, I love the cover that you have for the film. It's a girl sitting holding a globe. Mm-hmm. That's the Earth, and she's hugging it.
Yes. It took me a long time for the first film to figure out what was I going to use for kind of a poster for this. And I came across that image because I went through so many different images because obviously the first one that kind of came to mind was a basic, you know, couple hugging or something like that. But then I saw that particular image and I thought that to me kind of spoke even more, you know, of just this woman hugging the earth, you know, because it's kind of the theme of what I'm trying to portray is like of people kind of coming together in a better way and healing.
And it's not just cuddle where you tackle subjects that people kind of get nervous about. I think the film you did after that was My Body Is Not Obscene. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was a project that I wanted to do for a while because I had come across Nina Covington, who's a nude art model in Nashville. And I had read an article and she had been talking a long time about, she would post these images of herself nude to social media, but she always had to cover herself with censor bars, you know, and she always was rallying about, you know, why is there so much censorship around even just art nudes? And so that had been a theme for a while that I thought, because you were talking about the differences in America and Europe and everybody else in America, we're just so like, even just when it's not even related to sex, you know, nudity is just, we always have to cover it up. And so when I contacted her, she was very open to doing the film, but it took us about a year before we actually did it. It was all about timing. And we took our time with that film. And I'm glad we did because it allowed us to really go from even just exploring nude art modeling to all aspects of different problems around nudity and censorship and things like that. So yeah, and that film was done very, very well. That's also out there on a lot of the streaming platforms. And that one's reached a lot of people because body positivity was one of our main themes about it. And we tried to include all different kind of body types. We wanted to talk about both male and female hangups around their own bodies. And so I'm very proud of that film.
Yeah, it's a good subject to tackle because, yeah, it is. I mean, you get people who want to shame you for things all the time.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, it's not right. It's not right. No.
Well, and it's something that's universal. I mean, even people that you think, wow, they've got a great body. Why would they have a problem with their own body? But they do. Like every single person that I talked to in that film, every single one of us dealt with it. You know, we don't think we're good enough here, or we've got this imperfection. And when you realize that, it just, it helps you a lot, I think.
And then your next film that you're working on now is a departure from big departure. So what's the next one?
Yeah, this one is about these Disney vloggers. I don't know if a lot of people know about it yet, but it's really big. If you go out on YouTube or even on TikTok now, there are just people that will go to Disney parks, and not only Disney, but also Universal and all kinds of theme parks, to basically film their experiences the entire day. Some of them stream all day long. Again, in a sort of a way, like when I found about you know, cuddle facilitators, I thought, I have a lot of questions, you know, like I've loved Disney all my life, you know, and I brought my daughter there almost every year of her growing up. And I thought, you know, I want to know, like, how do you keep your phone battery going all day? You know, like, that's one basic question, because my phone will die after about an hour or so of, you know, just, I had all kinds of questions, and I started reaching out to a number of people. And so yeah, we're in the process now of getting footage together. It's going to kind of tell just what it's like to do this and why they do it. So yeah, it is a very different kind of film for me, but it still has a personal connection just because of how much I love Disney. And when I thought back to it, you know, back in the days when my daughter was really young and I took her there, I always had my camera, you know, I was always filming. Now, I didn't upload it, you know, YouTube wasn't around back in those days. And so I was just keeping it for myself, but I was basically kind of doing the same thing. And it's something that, you know, when I'm here working from home or something, I'll just have a Disney vlogger in the background, you know, and I'll just glance up, and it's a way to kind of experience the parks at home, you know? So it's a fascinating thing, and I'm kind of interested in getting this one together. So
yeah, I see them. We go to the parks. We have season tickets, so we go to the parks a lot. And I do see a lot of people actually walking around, recording everything as they go. And I always wave hello if they catch me. But I will be home sometimes, and we can't go out to the park. And so I will turn them on my computer and just kind of watch as they're walking around. Especially one of the food and garden, one of the food and garden shows, or food and wine, or whatever, one of the shows at Epcot where they have little stalls with different kinds of food. I think that opened today, because as I was looking at going through TikTok, somebody was there, and I thought, oh, I want to go. And I watched for maybe 10 minutes, because I thought, I don't have time to go today. I can't go maybe until next week. So, it was, and I know some people do not like that, and they will do, you know, rude gestures and try to block things. But I think it's just kind of the whole privacy thing. We sort of, once we got the internet, we lost our privacy.
Yes.
And especially with children, if you have a child out there, please don't post pictures of them to Facebook or whatever every day. I saw a lady that had a kid, and every day she was posting a picture of their baby. And I thought, no. And when we first discovered the internet, my children were small, and I said to them, if I post about the family, are you okay with that? And one of mine said yes, and one said no. So for years, everyone thought I had one kid. And so the other one I've never talked about. I try to never talk about, because that's their right. They don't want to be talked about. So I can see where there'd be some people would have an issue with somebody walking around with that. So I'd be very interested to watch the documentary. Do you talk about people who do not like the fact that these people are walking around with
these cameras? That's one of the, like, we're still in the process of getting footage, so I don't really know. But that was one of the questions I asked, because I have watched a live stream or two where I have seen someone say they don't want to be filmed. And so that was one of the questions. Because again, because I'm also curious, like, you know, do the parks have anything to say about this too? You know, like, because there are vloggers that do make money off this. You know, they actually go into the parks, and they will buy things for people and sell it to them. And, you know, so I'm very interested in that, to learn how they deal with a lot of that stuff. Cause it's not an easy thing. You know, you think it's just as easy as like holding your phone around, but it's a lot for these people that do it all the time. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's gotta be something that's going to hold my attention. And because it was the first day of whatever the festival is, I was very interested and very hungry. I was really hungry by the time I got done watching.
Yes.
There's so many great little food booths. That's the nice thing about Epcot, is there's always some kind of a festival, and you can just go, and it's sometimes expensive, but it's about $7 for a food, for a small plate item, and then, or a dessert. And then sometimes the drinks can be pretty expensive, but it's a favorite place to go. So let's swing back around to the book again. Mm-hmm. Now you get very personal in the book. I mean, really, all the raw things that were happening to you. Mm-hmm. Did you talk to your family first before you did this?
I did not. That was, it has been a very difficult book for my daughter, which I knew would be the case. That was one of the things that I really wrestled with for a while, was, you know, I am telling a lot of personal things. I do change a lot of the names in it to protect people, but ultimately, I kind of came down on the fact that, you know, I I'm needing to tell my story, and I don't know how to tell my story without telling some of the stories of others. So whether that was a mistake or not, I don't know. But at the time, that's what it truly felt I needed to do, because there were a lot of things that I did that I was not proud of, wrong choices I made, like getting involved with someone else while I was married. And so in a way, this was my way of saying this was the life that I was leading and what I had to do to get to where I am today, where I'm so proud of where I am today. But I know no other way of like really telling that story without explaining it in as much detail as I did. Because this is actually my first time writing a book. I'd never written a book before because I'm much more comfortable with film. But I felt like, and this may be the only book I ever write, I don't know. But I feel like it sums up what, you know, where I am today, but then what I had to go through to get there. And that's what I wanted people to see. And I really wanted people to see that there is a path forward, that there's always a way to not give in to the despair, because I was in the worst kind of despair and I got through it, you know? And so yeah, I think when you write memoirs, it's a tough decision you have to make, you know, like it's, cause there were many times I thought, okay, maybe I shouldn't even write this. But then everything in me, just like the desire to do a film, I just felt called to do this. Like, this is something I needed to do.
I like that you did it, because there are people out there that have similar issues. And yes, to be able to see that someone else got through to the other side and they ended up okay. I think that's important to have that out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It came back to when I was told about all of these people being wounded healers. I felt I needed to do that. Like, that was sort of my last thing that I needed to show people, or to help people, you know, and say, this is my particular journey. This is what I did that helped. And maybe there's something is maybe not through the same way that I did it, but it can be done if you're willing to really do the hard work and really look at yourself. And which I had avoided for years. I'd always just put it aside and just assumed I was always going to be this way, because mine was like a lack of self-worth. That's where I struggled my entire life, and I just thought I was going to be stuck with that. And so when I finally got to that point of saying, I can't keep living like this. You have to just get that determined and say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to figure this out one day at a time. And that's what the book shows, you know? So it's, yeah, I am very proud of the book. I mean, it really came together well. It just, when I started writing it, it flowed out of me, and it actually felt good to just tell the truth, you know, because I had, for so long, I was telling lies and I was keeping secrets. And when I got to that point in my life, I'm like, I am not doing that anymore. I am not going to live that kind of life. And so it felt good to just get it all out and say, this is what I did. And I hope that the people that I hurt can forgive me. But I can't hide from it either. You know, like it's my confession in a way. It's my confession. And it was really what I felt was the final step to moving on to where I am today. So.
Yeah. And a lot of people who write memoirs say the same thing. You know, they need that cleansing almost to get it, like you said, to get it out and onto the page. And I thought you did a really good job of pulling the reader in and exposing yourself and letting people know that, you know, other people have these issues too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think so often we have like, I don't know, we feel like we're the only ones. I'm the only person that doesn't like other people to touch me, you know, but then there's other people out there too. And then you can go to one of these cuddle parties. And like you said, you have they go through the practicing saying no to different things, and you get comfortable in that situation. And I think it's important to have these things out there for people.
Yeah, I agree. It's because that what you said is so true. You feel like you're the only one going through this and that no one really understands your pain, but it's so universal. It's being human is tough, you know, and you're always trying to do the right thing. You know, you think you're doing the right thing. And then you wake up the next day and discover, okay, this was the wrong choice, you know, and then sometimes it's too late. And then, but you can always try to do something to be better the next day. I mean, if you're determined to fix these problems and make things better, it can be done.
Now the pandemic must have really messed people up, and it probably put a halt to the cuddle parties, but have they bounced back?
Slowly, very slowly. They have come back. But it took a very, very long time, especially the cuddle party. I'm sad that, like, even in Birmingham, we don't have the cuddle parties going on anymore. And I don't know necessarily if that's because of COVID or just because of a lack of interest in this particular area. It always tend to flourish in other areas, like places like Colorado, California, areas like that. They're a little more open-minded about these kinds of things. I've always flourished more. But they are coming back. The cuddle businesses are still doing okay. There are some that have closed since the time that I've made the films, and it's a tough, tough business. But the people who do it, I mean, they're such great human beings. I mean, that's what I learned so much. It's like the way that they're grounded to humanity and the way that they connect to people is such a model to follow. Like, I learned so much from that. It calmed me a lot. A lot of anxiety that I used to go through, it just gave me different avenues to say, to just relax about things, you know, and just feel better about things. So they're doing okay. They're doing okay.
Yeah. And I mean, that's huge for so many of us. In our lives are so crazy, especially with us being on display all the time because of the internet. We really need ways to relax, decompress, and just kind of recover from our days and from our lives. So I think people need to check out the book, and they need to check out the films. And your website is
FL. Well, I've got a couple specifically for the cuddle films is cuddleexperience.com. That will have where you can see both films. It should have a link to the book on there. The book is at Amazon and Barnes and Noble, any of those kind of places too. There's an audiobook that's also available. The audiobook actually was, I was able to put a lot more into the audiobook that's not even in the book, because I put different clips from some of the cuddle films in there, because that was the thing. There were so many other great things I wanted to put in the book too, but the book was already running kind of long. So, but the audiobook, you do get more in there. And I had some great actresses that helped bring voices to some of the female messages in there. And so, yeah, so it's all available there. But my main, production company website is flprods.com for Fastlane Productions.
And you do weddings too, right?
I do, yes. I do pretty much anything video related. Yeah, I actually love doing weddings. There's a lot of cinematographers and videographers that don't like to do weddings, but I love it. To me, it's you're capturing people on one of the happiest days of their life. And I love the fact that someone's going to be watching their wedding video that I did years later. And it's, you know, my choices and the things that I chose to film that they're going to forever have as their, and I haven't had a bad experience with any. A lot of people said, have you had a bridezilla or something? And I'm like, no, I've actually been very lucky. I've had some great couples to work with. And so I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun and it's challenging.
You probably put them at ease. Yeah. One less thing to worry about, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on today, Jason. And thank everybody, you. Everything we discuss will be down in the show notes. And please check out Cuddle, the film, because it is really eye-opening that, I mean, this isn't anything weird. It truly isn't. It's just very eye-opening for something to help you kind of feel a little more relaxed in your life and reach out, because it's so hard for us to now women, it's a little easier. We tend to be more huggy and kissy with friends, but a lot of men, you know, they're raised in a society that says they can't cry, they can't kiss, they can't touch. Yeah. So this is an option, you know, if you feel like you need to make a connection, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, true. definitely check everything out. And thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you.
You'll find everything we discussed down in the show notes. A special thank you to Laura Lynn Hardy for writing the theme for Books Cubed. That's her on the vibraphone and Billy Tyke Miller on the drums. It was recorded at Mill Kids Recording in Huntsville, Alabama. And that's it for now. Until next time, go read a good book.